August 2, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Speaker, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, Gifts of the Spirit, Part 4.
And will never leave us. And it's really wonderfully fascinating and encouraging to know that a small group of us can meet on top of this hill just outside of Wellsville, and we can lift our hearts to Him, and His presence comes. There's something that the Holy Spirit just really responds to, and it's not really easy to explain the way I sense it anyhow, but it's this: we draw Him with our hunger, with our desire for Him. He responds to that, and He comes. Now, it's not to say that He leaves in the sense of depart from us, but His presence becomes more apparent to us. I remember, I'm going to get to my message in a minute. I remember probably, maybe it was a year ago, I don't know, it was a while back, and I felt like I had a word, and I shared it with the church that Sunday morning, and this was the word. The word was that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and it said that the place where they were filled, there was like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the place where they were was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think we're experiencing that right now. I thank the Lord for His giving me this, the wind, to kind of emphasize, that I'm really on this thing. So the place was filled, but then it goes on to say that tongues of fire was at over each one of their heads. So there was like two manifestations of the Spirit of God that Pentecost Sunday. One was everybody could be aware. There could be a sense. There could be a feeling that the Holy Spirit is among them. In fact, out in the street, thousands of people gathered trying to figure out what all was going on with all the noise and so on. But the tongues of fire was over the heads of individuals. And it would be possible for someone to be within the place where the Holy Spirit was and enjoy the environment that the Holy Spirit creates, and yet they themselves remain untouched by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We have to come. When we get together, we come as a congregation and He responds. But then there's that personal, individual place that we come and we say, whatever you want, whatever you have for us, that's what I want. That's what I want. I can tell you what I want, but you know what? I really don't know what I need. I just think I know what I need. And I'm just arrogant enough to insist sometime. Truth of the matter is, He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end, and He really knows what I need. And so as I come to Him and allow Him to touch me personally, He brings that to pass in my life. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit. We take a few weeks off while Jude and I went up to the mountains and pretended we were young. and then, of course, Dan and Nancy were here last week. So we've been away for a few weeks. And actually what it was, if Ed and Denise weren't here, I just wasn't going to preach. That's what it was. Welcome back, Ed and Denise, by the way. Somebody give them a visitor card, so, So, yeah, good. Well, welcome back. Good to have you back. But we've been off topic for a few weeks of the Holy Spirit, but we're moving towards, if I ever get to it, I'm going to share on prophecy today. And then next week, we are going to share on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it is, the examples of it in the book of Acts, how to receive it. So for some here, this will be old stuff. I know that forever. For some, it will be new. For some, it will be an encouragement for maybe a deeper thing with the Holy Spirit. So next week we are going to pray. We're going to be a good part of our service is going to be praying for folks and believing God that He is going to put that tongue of fire over each one of our heads. Okay, so we will be praying. Now, not exactly sure how we're going to do that, but don't you worry. We're going to respect social distancing, whatever your comfort level is. We respect it, and it'll be fine. But we're going to find a way to do this, and we're just going to believe God. But what I really want to ask you to do between now and then is I ask you to really pray. Let's just pray that God shows up next week and releases people in spiritual gifts, in the gift of tongues, that with the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and in a fresh way. And I'm really believing and have been. The reason I started this whole series was not simply because I wanted something to teach. I really feel like we need to have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to do what God wants us to do. And so there's days coming, folks. I think there are days coming when things are going to look different than they do now. And we, the church, will need to be empowered in the midst of that. Don't fear it. But I want to be in my place at that time. So that's what's in my heart right now, that we are being equipped, prepared, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we know what the Word of God has to say about how these gifts operate and how we can use them and all of that. So we have looked at three revelation gifts. We've already done this. If you're interested and you haven't been here for this, shame on you. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm just being silly now. But you can go to our website, and they're all there. Just take them as they came. There's three revelation gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. There's three power gifts, which are faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. And there are three vocal gifts: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, which is what we're going to look at today. So we've looked at a lot more than that. I need to clip things here, folks, because it'll fly away. Which reminds me of another old song. There you go. You folks are all wound up today. Okay, all right. So we want to look at the gift of prophecy today. We actually had what I would consider to be demonstrations of that gift this morning. We've had them here. This has been something that is widely distributed, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't, but it did this morning. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's a divinely inspired, anointed utterance. It's entirely supernatural, all right? It's a manifestation of God's Spirit, as are all of the gifts of the Spirit. We do have wisdom, but then there's the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, I should say. And that word is a word from God. It's not just our own wisdom, and so on. And this here, it's entirely supernatural. It has nothing to do with human power. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So it's widely distributed. It has nothing to do with human power, and its purpose is the profit of all. When the two words we heard this morning really were right in the center of that, it was to encourage us and to build us up and to help us in our walk with the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians 14:13 it says this: You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So this learning and encouragement is something that is the foundation of God giving this gift. And it does say you can all prophesy. You know what that means? That means you can prophesy. That's what it means. And usually when we don't, it's because we don't recognize God is giving us a prophetic word or so on. Maybe we'll get into a little of that. There are some who actually do clinics, if you want to call them that, or labs on this sort of thing, where people come together for the direct and specific purpose of learning how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We're not going to do that, but we are aware that there's a learning curve, and we are all on it. Now, there are some appropriate views of prophecy, and there are some mistaken views. And so some people feel that the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12 is confused with the prophetic office. Now, in Ephesians 4:11, it says that sometimes these gifts are called the ascension gifts, and it says, after he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets, and some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists. So in those the first Corinthians 12 gifts, they are gifts that are given to us, but they don't reside in us. That doesn't define us. It's just God uses us. And then there is the office gift or the ascension gifts. And that is the person itself. I have been around some that I would consider to be, do you remember, Ed, do you remember Harold Harding? He used to come to this church. So the people who have been around here for a long time will remember Harold Harding. Very, very close friend of ours. Actually, he was kind of like a mom and dad in the faith to Judy and me. But he was a prophet. And he could sit at a dinner table and be eating beans, and there was something about this guy that was always moving in you. I can't explain it exactly, but he didn't have to give a prophetic word to be prophetic. His whole presence was prophetic. The 1 Corinthians 12 gifts are not that. Okay, that's a different thing. Now, when I was in New Jersey, I was pastoring a church in New Jersey, happily minding my own business, and I got a call from Elam, and they asked me to come, to resign that church and to come and be the missions director for Elam Fellowship. This would have been 2008. And so I resigned, I prayed about it and so on, resigned the church, and I came to Elam, and I was their missions director for about 10 years before I retired from that. But one of the days I was there in the hallway in the fellowship offices, and somebody said to me, they said, oh, hi, Pastor Tom. And they said, oh, you're not a pastor anymore. So I said, okay, well, I mean, I don't care what people call me. Honestly, I don't. But I thought it reflected a misunderstanding in something. So I said to this person, I said, so tell me, is a pastor because of what he does or because of who he is? Okay, so if you are not a pastor and you do pastoral things, that doesn't make you a pastor, right? So a pastor is a pastor, an evangelist. And so there it is, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. It's the person who is the gift. It's not what they do, it's who they are. And because of what God made them, they have that corresponding influence with people. Okay, so some people feel they're apostles. Some are, I guess, and some maybe aren't. I'm not sure about that. Some are prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so I know who I am, and it doesn't matter if I have a congregation or I don't have a congregation. It really doesn't matter because I know what God has called me to do. And it's good for you to know what God has called you to do, too, and stay within that thing. But all this to say that the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is something where God will release something in us and we will share it for the edification of all, and then we go and sit down and we're just a normal person again, okay? Which is different than, and that doesn't mean that somebody who has a prophetic gift does not prophesy. I hope I'm not confusing you on that. I'm just trying to say there's a difference between the two. So if God uses you in the prophetic utterance in the 1 Corinthians 12 gifting, that does not make you a prophet. Okay, it means you prophesied, all right? It doesn't mean you're not a prophet, it's not the qualifier, okay? So I hope that will help you just a little bit to understand the difference between there. Let me move my page here. Sometimes when people are playing piano and they got a complicated piece, they have somebody by the piano next to them and they're flipping the pages. I almost feel like I need that up here because this wind is wonderfully forceful. Okay. All right. So, another thing about a misunderstanding about the gift of prophecy is that sometimes people consider it to be something, some revelation of things outside the Word of God. Okay, that something comes in and it's just not according to the Word of God. I've heard people feel like they have had a new revelation, which is not backed up by the Word of God. I would say that any pastor worth his salt would challenge that and say, no, you know, if it's not at least in its roots in the Word of God, then we're not receiving it. So what is prophecy? How does it work for us? Okay, well, 1 Corinthians 14:3 defines it for us very clearly. It says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, if you have bought your notes that we gave out before, you will see at this point in time, you will see there is a triangle there. I was going to put the whiteboard out here, but I just knew that was not going to work today. So just picture a triangle, and this is edification, and this is exhortation, and this is comfort. Okay, so if you're going to prophesy in the 1 Corinthians 12 sort of way, so you're in there someplace. So you might say something like, "My children, I want you to know that I love you and my spirit is within you and be not afraid." And so there's a comforting thing there. But I'm calling you to something higher. I'm calling you to step out and believe me in those things you face. So now there's an exhortation. And I will build you up and I will cause you to be what I want you to be. So there's an edification. So as long as you're doing that sort of thing, you're within what I call the prophetic triangle, no problem. But when you go from there and you say, and so I am calling this congregation to sell your church and move to another state where I will use you and plant you, sell your houses for I, the Lord, am leading you. Now that is that. Now we've shifted into a place that really needs a higher level of scrutiny. Okay, that is really usually a guy can do anything he wants to do, but usually something so directive. I use a very extreme illustration just to make the point, but there's other lesser ones. In fact, I actually know one church where a guy came in and he prophesied that they needed to build a new building, and they did. And it was a bad experience financially, and it was a beautiful building, and they just couldn't pay for it. And so they should have tested that a little bit more, you know. But it's kind of, I think, what they wanted to hear, so they said, let's do it. So some things go more to the office of the prophet, you know, like this guy, Harold Harding, we were talking about. If Harold told me I was to do something, I'd stop everything, and I'd just really pray about that. I would really, really pray about that, because he had a way. He heard from God in a way that was just amazing. And he has, part of what this church is what it is because of Harold's input here back in the 70s. Back in the 70s and even into the early 90s. I'm not sure how long he came here, but I know he died in like 92 or 93 or something like that. So anyhow, definitely the 80s, but 90s too. At my churches, anyhow. But at any rate, I understood there was a difference. And so when somebody prophesies, we need to really think about, okay, what are they telling me? Are they edifying me? Are they exhorting me? Are they comforting me? Okay, that's good. Are they directing me to do something or to be something or something like that? Then I think it's time to really consider that and to get other people involved in that. Back in the day, we were having renewal services in my church, and this is probably 94, and there was amazing I refer to it. There's just amazing things happening. It's just wonderful. And so because of that, we had people, you know, Bob Mumford says, the brighter the light, the weirder the bugs, you know. So we had people coming, okay, that were maybe a little strange. And so this one guy, unbeknownst to me or any of the leadership in the church, he wasn't from our church. He was from another state. He came, and he was taking people off to the side, and he was prophesying over them. And he wasn't prophesying over them just to edify them or exhort them. He was giving them directive prophecies. And this one lady came up to me, and she says, he's talked to me, and I don't know what it means. And I said, well, I don't know what it means. I wasn't there. And so it got very confusing, and I had to go and talk to this guy and tell him he had to stop that. If he felt to prophesy, he needed to have me or one of the elders with him so that there could, because he's going to, you know, he blows in, blows up, and blows out, but he leaves a problem at the home base. And then we can't fix it because we don't know what was said. So it's not a pride thing. It's a shepherding thing. So if anybody ever takes you off to the side and starts giving you prophecies, what I would like you to do is say, could you hold that a minute? I want to go and get someone, one of the leaders of the church, to come and listen in on this. And so that's just protection for yourself. People say all kinds of things, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. And we don't want any collateral damage. Just because the Bible does say despise not prophesying, but it doesn't say you can just prophesy any old way you want, any old time you want, to any old buddy you want. Okay, there are restrictions to the whole thing. Okay, well, let's just look. Okay. Okay, let's see here. So there we are with the prophetic triangle. Just remember that: edification, exhortation, comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So prophecy is way up there. It's way up there. Okay. I'm skipping over a few things here. There's some purposes to prophecy that I think are good for us to know, because why do it? What's the good of it? Well, here's some good. One of the purposes of the gift of prophecy is that we can speak unto men supernaturally. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, we looked at edification, exhortation, and comfort. In tongues, men are speaking to God supernaturally. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. But in prophecy, it's men speaking to men. It's people speaking to people, okay? Because we got a lot of ladies who are gifted in this way and have that anointing, so I'm not trying to restrict it. Okay, it's to edify the church, to exhort the church, to comfort the church, and that believers may learn. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and that you all may be encouraged. So just kind of keep that. Kind of keep that in your mind, that it's a matter of being encouraged. It's a matter of learning. I think we heard this about this dream today, okay? And that was not really a prophetic thing like we might be used to hearing, yay, my children, this and that and the other. But it was, I had this thing that I woke up with, and I realized I was dreaming. I realized God was saying something to me. And so she begins to share this. And then in different places here, I know what happened, I don't know who you are, but in different places people were saying, yeah, I understand that. I understand what you mean by that. And so it was encouraging people who might be in a similar place. And so it's this sense of teaching, of exhorting, and so on. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 24 and 25 says, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. This probably has happened to all of us. Not that we were unbelievers when it happened, but we would go into something and somebody would say something, and it would be like when you put the quarter in the vending machine and you hear it drop, you know, you hear that clink in your nose. It happens to us. We just feel like That was for me. God was speaking to me. And when sometimes unbelievers, some people who have not embraced Christ, but they're there for whatever reason, something is said and it really convicts them and brings them closer. This is why it's not just something we do because we have a good idea to do it. This is why we respond to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells us to speak, don't be silent. The Holy Spirit says, be silent, don't speak. Okay, we just let him do what he wants to do. A couple of observations. It says here that we are in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 and verse 39, it says this. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It's okay to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Okay, so it's okay for you to say, Lord, I want you to use me like that. I want to be used not to build up my own ego. I want to be used because I want you to use me to edify people and to exhort people and to encourage people. And I want to be your tool in your hand. So here I am. Do what you want to do. Now, if you remember some time ago, weeks ago, I talked about the two-switch theory. I don't know if you remember that. But there's basically two switches in this whole thing. One is God's switch and one is ours. And we said at that time that it's important for us to keep our switch in the on position all the time. And that way when God puts his in his on position, we will have what he wants us to have. Okay? So we're always ready. We're always... When we come here on any Sunday morning, we ought to be praying for the service. We ought to be doing, but we all also ought to be saying, Lord, if you want to use me today in this church, in this service, I'm available. I'm your guy, okay? I'm your gal, whatever you want to say. And so that you come in and you are consciously having your switch in the on position, if I can say it like that, so that if God chooses to use you, he might not. Okay, so then that's just the way it is. But he might choose to use you that day. You are ready to go. All right. So maybe as we go on, we will be less fearful and we will be more adventurous to just say, Lord, I really feel you. I'm so nervous. I'm so scared. But I really think this is you, and you prophesy. You know, there have been times when I have so fought with this, I feel like God's given me a prophetic word, and I'm thinking, you know, like if I say that, everybody's going to just think it's me. You know, anybody here have that same thought? Or you know, they're just going to think I'm showing off. Or there's people here that I really don't want them to think I'm an idiot, you know, and so I don't want to say something and somehow prove that I really am, you know. So there are all these things, sometimes it's just something like, you know, fire. The Bible talks about fire in your bones. You know, there's something in you that is just got, you know, it's got to come out. And that in itself doesn't mean it's God, but it's a good place to start and discern that. Okay, so we are expressly commanded to desire this particular gift. So desire it. The Bible says you should desire it. So desire it. It may be possessed by everyone. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and verse 24 and verse 31, those three verses, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. If all prophesy, an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and convicted by all, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So you can all prophesy one by one. Now, I don't believe that means we can all prophesy in the same service. You know, there's restrictions to that too, which we might get to, but it does mean that anyone here who knows the Lord and is filled with the Spirit of God can, the potential is there for you to give a prophetic word that would edify the church. Okay, so speaking in tongues, the prophecy is greater than tongues if tongues is not accompanied by interpretation. So right now in the church, my observation, which is not global, or I don't know everything going on every place, that's for sure, but the message in tongues with interpretation doesn't happen that much anymore. It used to be very, very common. In fact, it used to be more common than prophecy. But now prophecy seems to be more. So I'm not sure what to make of all of that, other than as long as God is speaking, I'm happy with that. So I'm not going to argue with anyone. But if you just speak in tongues and you give a message in tongues and there's no interpretation, it doesn't edify anyone. But if there is an interpretation with the message in tongues, then it's equal to prophecy as far as value to the church. Okay, so as we go forward and the Lord is moving among us, try to remember these things so that you can just kind of stay in line with what God is doing. Okay, let me see here. I think I just covered that. This is like amazing. I am so busy keeping my pages in place that I don't... Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Though prophecy is clear to our understanding, it is not speaking with the understanding. If you're giving something out of your own understanding, it might be good advice, it might be good, but it's not the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is something that is entirely supernatural. It comes from God, and you are a channel to get that message out to others. That's what he wants you to do. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so sometimes we just need to weigh it. God, is this you or is it not you? Okay, and go from there. Okay, coming to an end here, the gift is not to take the place of the written word of God. Somebody has a prophetic word, maybe it's off the wall, maybe it's unbiblical. But somebody could take that and say, well, there was a prophet, there was a prophecy, and I feel I can do this. If it's against the word of God, I declare it a false prophecy. Do not listen to it. Or if there's something and you say, does that sound right? Open your Bibles and look. Just open them up and read it and find out what the Bible says. If it passes the Word of God test, that's a good step forward. If it doesn't, go no further. I had one person tell me, they're prophesying and really in a church, and it was really off the wall. It was really off the wall. So I had to kind of correct it there in front of everybody, and then I talked to him later, and I showed him something in Scripture that Paul wrote, which is absolutely contrary to what he said. Plain, black and white, simple, didn't have to be Greek or Hebrew scholar to understand it, and he said to me, Paul did not have a full revelation. Okay. Alrighty, there's the door. Have a good day. No. Paul's revelation is in the Bible is what we need to look for. Okay, so let's see here. Where am I? The one who is being used with the gift of prophecy or any of the gifts is responsible for its use. Some people say, oh, I couldn't help myself. The Holy Ghost was all over me. No, you can help yourself. You need the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. And so he tells us that God is not the author of confusion. And so if something is going on that brings confusion, that's a good place to stop. And to say that I just couldn't help myself, It's unbiblical. It says 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm just going to read these verses. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. That's if you have a word of prophecy, and somebody or somebodies feel that you are off on it, and they talk to you about that, don't get upset. Receive that. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Let the prophet speak, but let others judge. Just the fact that you say, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean he said it. And as a matter of fact, I am very, very, myself, personally, I avoid thus saith the Lord. It seems I most often would say I believe the Lord is saying. because I may be convinced, but I may be wrong. And to say thus saith the Lord kind of puts people in a bad spot, because if they don't really agree with that, they feel like, well, I'm contradicting God, you know. So I would recommend thus saith the Lord, put that aside most of the time anyhow. I believe the Lord is saying, and then go. So let two or three prophets speak, let the others judge. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let all things be done decently and in order. And one final thing, and then we're just going to close in prayer. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So we sometimes, there can be a service where maybe a spirit of prophecy is on the, and so we start having multiple, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people want to prophesy. Well, that can get a little, probably more than yes, Lord, I'm ending. Okay. All right. So thus ends our teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Next week, we've read through, remember we talked about, before you get in the car, you're going to get a license, you go and you take a written test. I'm not giving you a written test, but you take a written test at the DMV, and if you understand the rules of the road from the book, you get to sit behind the wheel of the car and actually operate. So what we've been doing is really just going through the what does God say about these gifts, and how do we use them, and how do they function among us. So we've done that. And I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it's been good. And I hope you've considered these things and have looked into them deeper yourself. And next week, we want to pray, as I said. So be in prayer about that. And let's just believe the Holy Ghost to move among us. It's just time for something fresh in God to come upon us. We've been preparing our hearts. We've been studying the Word. Now we're just going to say next week, and I don't know where it's going after next week. I haven't really got it all figured out, but I do know next week, Lord willing anyhow, unless something happens that changes us, that we're just going to come to Him and just ask for a bodacious manifestation of God's Spirit to be among us. Is it okay to use bodacious in that context? I'm not sure. I think, but I'd like to see, and I'd like everyone. I'd like, there could be some in here are saying, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about all this supernatural stuff. Well, I would like everyone when they leave here next week to say, well, I wasn't sure when I came in, but I am sure when I'm going out. You know, I can't produce this. It's not up to me. It's not something I can just do. I'm not even trying. But we're going to make a place for God to do what He wants to do and give Him space. So we'll do that next week. And I want you to be open. You might say, well, I speak in tongues. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, you be open that God could do something special in you too. So we'll do that next week. We'll talk specifically about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what it is and how you receive it. And then we'll do that. But for now, we're going to end this service with just a prayer of expectation and hope. And when we're done, if anyone needs prayer, this COVID thing has really interrupted some very important things among us. And prayer with one another is one of those things. So Pat and Denise are going to come up. Pat and Denise are going to come up. And when we're done, if you need prayer, come up for anything, and just let them know what your comfort level is. Like, stay 6 foot away. Yes, I'll do that. Put a mask on. Okay, I'll do that. Whatever, don't not come because you're afraid of violating your social distancing, whatever you're comfortable with. We respect that. So, and if a lot of people come up, then Devin and Shay are also going to join in. So that so if you need prayer for anything, feel free to come, and they will pray with you. So let's stand together. Father, we are thankful to you for the blood, Lord, just the gracious outpouring of your Spirit upon us, releasing among us gifts We thank you, Lord, for using us. We thank you, Lord, that we are the church that you have called to be salt and light in this world. Lord, we pray right now for what's going to happen next Sunday. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would touch people in a fresh and a mighty way. And Lord, that this week you would build within each and every heart expectation of such a touch from you next week. In fact, matter of fact, Lord, it'd be great with me if you'd meet them this week and they would come with a testimony of how you did it even without coming to church. Whatever you want to do is good with us, but Lord, we're asking you for that. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every man, woman,